are burning the ship's retreat, where we have been called to release the past, renew our faith, answer the call, and move forward to the upward call of God. It is our prayer that this time together would bring transformation and an earnest desire to renew our faith and turn towards Him. The concept of burn the ships symbolizes once again a decisive commitment to faith, fully embracing a new path, purpose with God, eliminating any possibility of retreat or plan B. It is said, interesting, that many unknowingly perhaps are living their plan Bs or in a neutral zone. We do not want to miss Jesus and all He has for us. As we draw near to our close of the retreat, let us challenge ourselves with this question. Are we ready to be all in with God? Are we willing to surrender our past, our future to Him? Are we ready to live the life that God has prepared for us, totally all in? So often we wish God to our plans rather than He our plan. As Jesus shares with His disciples in Matthew 16, 24, 25, if anyone wishes to come after, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Today in this session, we will be sharing the practical application of burning the ships. What are these ships, how to burn them, and why? So let's begin with a review of the story of the Spanish explorer Hernando Cortes, who in 1519, as legend has it, sailed to the harbor of Veracruz, Mexico. He brought with him only 600 men, but was able to defeat Montezuma and all the warriors of the Aztec Empire. He knew the odds were not in his favor. He knew, keyword there, knew that his men were faced with seemingly insurmountable danger, would want to return to Spain. So the order came, everyone, burn the ships. Yes, burn the ships. Imagine the shock for the crew when realizing retreat was not an option. No exit plan, no turning back. Light the match, burn the ships. And I have a picture, I believe, here. Tyler, do you have a picture of a little boat there? If not, that's okay too. Okay, that's okay. We'll just keep going. We've seen lots of boats here, huh? They were all over the stores, too. I almost bought some. I just got so into this study. So let us intentionally come to a crossroads in our faith where we, too, have the same choice. May we come to a place of devotion. I love that word, devotion, to our Lord, where we were all in for Him. So again, light the match and burn the ships. Okay, this can be challenging, but we will look at how this choice is ultimately the best decision we will ever make for our own life and the life of others. But what does it mean to burn the ships? And what are these ships? To burn the ships is radical surrender. No turning back. An example of this in scripture would be the Israelites leaving Egypt to pursue the promised land, leaving behind old ways. The Israelites had to abandon their past. Other examples in scripture include Noah, Ruth, Naomi, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. So right now, just take a few minutes to talk with the person next to you or in your group and just recall others who you believe have given their all for Him. So go ahead and do that right now. Turn to your neighbor and just reflect on who else in Scripture you can think of has done that. Okay, ladies. Thanks so much for sharing. And now, just to save time, we will come back to our presentation. Okay? So here we go. Ready? Thanks for sharing with each other. We're all good? Okay, great. I heard some lively conversations, which is great. So let us also reflect upon the contributions these men and women made for the purpose of God and for our own legacy of faith, and then maybe think of people in modern times as well. So done a lot for the kingdom. Each of us have an earnest desire to serve and love the Lord, but what could we be holding on to? What strongholds are in our lives that keep us from living our best life for and with God? What are the ships? Anything that keeps us from serving God totally and boldly. For each of us, our ships might be different. Some ships may include fear. I used to be a good one on that one. Anybody else? Worry, unforgiveness, pride, addictions, past failure, regrets, anger, emotional trauma, guilt, old way of life, relationships, hidden sins, habits, distractions, and more. And now finally, why burn the ships? Hebrews 12:1 shares, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares. And let us run the race with endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Our Lord invites us into a deep relationship with him. He says, come and follow me. To remove that which hinders this communion leads us to a clear path where we can freely walk in fellowship with him and fulfill his purposes for our lives. Laying aside the weights and sin provide a freedom to run our race well for the Lord. Burning the ships frees us to experience the true freedom of Christ. It points us, as in a compass, to true north, where we need to be. Release, run to him who loves you. God is love, and he demonstrated this love for us in the sacrifice of the cross. As we let go, spend time with him in the word, prayer, worship, we are amazed at the beauty of his love and care for us. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. In addition, our walk can have a huge impact and influence upon others with whom we serve. Here's a quote: "The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to him," is a quote shared by a British revivalist 120 years ago. In Scripture, we have examples of those who burned the ships to follow the Lord's call and those who chose not to. We will look at some of these stories now. Let's begin with the story of Moses. In Exodus 3, God appears to Moses in a bush that burned without being consumed, calling him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Hebrews 11:24 shares, "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." Verse 29 goes on to say, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. Yet the Israelites, upon their journey, chose at times to look back when things got rough. We read in Numbers 14, 1 through 4, "That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, 'If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?' And they said to each other, 'We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt.' We too, like the Israelites at time, wish to return to our own Egypts, right? To the comfort and security of the past, the familiar old habits, ways of life, even if they could be harmful to our spiritual growth. We too can have a tendency to look back, romanticize the past, have a nostalgia for the old, even if it could be harmful to our spiritual growth. Let us persevere in faith and be aware of the danger of going back and not forward." And from 1 Kings 18 through 21, we read, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him. Choose Christ and take action to follow through on this decisions. Light the match and burn the things." So now let's look at the rich young ruler's choice in the New Testament, Matthew 10, 17 through 27. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him, Jesus, and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do so that I may inherit eternal life?" In Matthew 19, 21, Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." The rich young ruler walks away sad, and we never hear from him again. Abandoning all was a choice he walked away from. In 1 Kings 19, 19 through 21, tells us a different story of Elijah. That's Elijah with a J, and Elijah with an S. So I remember it by the J coming in the alphabet before the S. So he was the person that came before Elijah. Elijah was an Old Testament prophet who opposed the evil king Ahab and Baal worship in Israel. Elijah, whose name means God is salvation, is appointed by God to be Elijah's successor. Elijah finds Elijah plowing 12 yoke of oxen, this number indicating wealth. Most people just had one. So Elijah, puts his cloak or mantle on him. Elijah left his oxen and ran after Elijah. So we have Elijah burning the ships, unlike the rich young ruler. GotQuestions.org shares, Elijah responded to the call immediately. Notice that word, immediately. He didn't think about it, just immediately. He completely removed himself from his former life, essentially hosting a celebration and leaving himself no option to return to his oxen. And you can read more about that story in scriptures. It's a great story. So in Luke 9:62, Jesus states, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looks back, is fit for service in the kingdom of God." And now, finally, how do we do it? How do we burn our ships? Number one, identify the ships. Maybe you've done that now. Maybe you're thinking about it, praying on it, and it's a lifelong process. It's not just a one-time event. Knowing is a key. As in the story of Hernando Cortes, he knew the temptations for his men to want to retreat. Begin with prayer, by asking the Lord to reveal anything in your life that needs to be removed or changed. In addition, daily we invite the Holy Spirit to show us those areas of weaknesses that we need to be delivered from. For some, a toxic relationship might need to end, yet for others, a relationship might be restored. And for some, unforgiveness needs to be dealt with. I love this scripture, Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So number one, identify the ships. Number two, light the match. Action. Let's look again at the scripture in Hebrews 12:1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This scripture is full of directives of how to run our faith race. We begin with, let us lay aside, meaning to put away out of our path, to disregard. Next, weight, something heavy, cumbersome, pressure, a burden that keeps us from running easily with flow and purpose. Sin is shared here, easily ensnares us, so true, right? It might seem attractive at first, but it traps us, captures us, enslaves us, and is a hard taskmaster. Let us be aware of sin's pull and run the other way like Joseph. When it comes knocking at our door. Next, race. We too, like athletes, are running the race of faith. In Hebrews 11, the great hall of faith, we read repeatedly, by faith. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Joseph, and more. The hall of faith teaches us through faith we too can do great things for the Lord, and nothing is impossible with God. Hebrews 11:1 states, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith we keep going and believe no matter what we see. We see through eyes of faith, trusting God. The next word in this scripture we will be examining is looking. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finish of our faith. Where are we looking? What are our eyes focused on? Beware of distractions. Do they pull us away from investing our time on those things of more value? Could our ship be spending countless hours on the phone, checking this advertisement or how to, or this and that? Anybody have that before? Yeah, before you know it, you're there hours and trying to find what the latest thing to get is. This in itself could be harmful, but where are our eyes focused? Let's see, here we go. So our study here today, I'm just sharing with you, is a guide. It's not a list of self-help tips, but concepts based on the word to redirect us, like GPS to our path. Okay, so it's not a set of legalistic rules, but what we're calling you to, what God's calling you to, is a deep relationship with God who loves us. We see in Hebrews 12:1, Jesus enduring the cross and even despising the shame. He gave all for us. Can we give all for him? So light the match, action. Our action plan is, number two, lay aside weights, beware of sin, run with endurance, and look at Jesus. So that's our number two action plan. In our pursuit of Jesus, we seek our life to be a life of surrender. Radical lives committed to our Lord is our goal. In Acts 19:18, we see an example of this surrender. And many who believed came, confessing, telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. They burned their ships. In Scripture, we see many courses of action to take to support us on this faith journey. Commitment is number one. The decision to follow Him is the beginning. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Exciting, we are new. We are born again. If there's anyone here who would like more direction on this, perhaps you would like to see one of the leaders, or here at the end of our lesson, we're going to invite you to make that decision or check to see if you want to recommit with the Lord. And let's see, above all, we trust God, who God is, His character to be with us all the way. We are not alone. His grace and mercy carry us through again and again. As I was reflecting upon this in the summer, I thought of how God is the God of again and again. His love never fails, and He sees us through our trials and storms again and again. I love it. Psalm 9 states, those who know your name will trust in you, for you never have forsaken those who seek you. And Psalm 86:5 says, for you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. So remember who God is. Remember His character when you're having struggles. Remember who He is and what He has done for you, and the amazing stories of His covenant faithfulness to the people of God in Scripture. When things get tough or you're faced with trials, storms, and temptations, remember who He is and what He has done. Obedience. Obedience is very important in this action plan. How often have we seen God's ways to be higher than our ways? Have you ever prayed for something and later seen God's closed doors as a blessing? Probably, huh? Thank God there's divine protection in obedience. Scriptures share in Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham obeyed even when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance. And I love this, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Wow, that's obedience, huh? The Word. Studying the Word, being in the Bible, is crucial to our plan of action. Determined to read His Word daily and carve time out for this sacred time, not optional. From Psalm 1, we read, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. To delight in the Lord and meditating upon His word is a blessing, which brings us to another point in our plan, renewing our mind. What are we thinking on? Are our thoughts aligned with His word? Prayer. Prayer is also a must for our spiritual growth as well. Prayer is direct communication with our Heavenly Father. It involves worship, confession, thanksgiving, requesting, and dependence upon God. Sweet communion. Worship. From GotQuestions.org, praising and adoring and expressing reverence for God, both publicly and privately, are specific acts of worship. In a broader sense, worship refers to an overall lifestyle of serving and glorifying God and reflecting His glory to others. And community, and that's what we're all doing here, community, is so important to the life of a believer. Through accountability with other believers, we are able to navigate this path so much easier than if we tried it alone. Like-minded Christians can help keep us from drifting and keep us grounded. And now we come to our final application, number 3, don't look back. Move forward. Moving forward, let's think about what we are going to do different to see different results. Are we going to recommit our hearts toward Him and doing the serious work of removing some ships that clutter our heart? New paths mean new ways. Now, it is important here to note that we recognize that many of us have gone through and maybe are going through some serious trials and might be dealing with some challenges. In our weaknesses, we might find ourselves overwhelmed and unable to deal with this alone. God can do what we can't. Sometimes when we refuse to let go, He in His mercy and goodness removes things for us. Also, as part of community, know we as the body of Christ are here for you. Seek godly counsel, trusted believer support, and pursue pastoral support as needed. We are here for you. Now, in conclusion, let us reach, pushing upward toward that high calling of devotion to God. May we watch in amazement as we take steps to see this come to pass. Are we ready for the challenge? To be all in for Him, not almost. And finally, let's end with the lyrics of our theme song, Burn the Ships. And we have a little clip there. If Tyler, do you have a little clip there at all?
That picture?
Yeah, that's okay. Okay. Yeah, that's okay. Step into a new day. Don't look back. So flush the pills. The bad ones, right? Not the good ones or your vitamins. Huh? Face the fear. Feel the weight disappear. We're coming clean. We're born again. Yay. So let's pray, ladies, and we're also going to invite anyone that would like to accept the Lord or recommit their lives to the Lord. And then I'm going to share some opportunities for learning and growth as well. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this precious group of women here, Father God. We know that they genuinely have a hunger and a passion to seek you, Father God, and to live the life that you died for us for, Lord. So we pray for each and every single one of them, Father God, that they would be touched, that they would be moved, that they would be challenged to renew their faith and step into a new day. We pray, Almighty God, for the burdens of hurt, Father God, to be minimal, and that you would help them through any storms and challenges. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for this beautiful retreat and for all those who made it possible. We love you and praise you. So now let's just keep our heads bowed. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts here. If there's anyone here who feels that they would like to commit their lives to the Lord, maybe they're not sure if they've done that before. Maybe they've gone to church, but maybe they haven't totally committed to you right now at their seat. If they would just like to raise their hand quietly with eyes closed. Is there anyone here? I see one hand over here. Any other hands? I see another hand over here. Another hand. Yay! Thank you, Lord. So, thank you, ladies, for your bold raising your hand and declaring, I want to know Him, I want to serve Him. That is so beautiful. So we just want to share that we have leaders here that can support you in this decision and pray with you and guide you along your next journey. Okay, so let's just say a little prayer. I know Pastor Robert does this too. Let's see if I can remember it. And we'll all say it together. Father God, I confess that I have sinned, and I know this sin separates me from you. But I know by the death of Jesus upon the cross, I can be forgiven and be made new. Welcome to the family of God. Now, for those of you who made that first time commitment, we have classes at Calvary Chapel. In between services at the West Campus at 10 o'clock, my teammate and I do foundation classes to support you in your new walk. We want to grow. We don't want to stay the same, right? We also have a Growing in Faith class that comes up. Just look for that on the internet. We also have a class on the Word, how to study the Word. And I believe it already started on Monday, but look for it to happen again on the internet. And that's with Steve Fordyce. Okay, and so now let's talk about recommitting. Let's bow our heads again. And if there's someone that would just like to recommit their lives to the Lord, you'd like to just do all that God has called you to do, to be with Him, you can raise your hand quietly at your table as well. I see some hands. And probably some of you have already done this. Some of you have already burned the ships. Okay. So thank you, Lord, for those who have recommitted to you, Lord. Hear their heart. See, Father God, their longing to want to be close to you, Lord. So we invite you into our lives. Holy Spirit, govern us and help us to be women of faith who truly love you and make a difference in the lives of our families, our friends, our co-workers, and the world. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Thanks, ladies. This is great.